This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Or check us out online. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. That's GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You can follow up on our upcoming events. You can schedule a new patient appointment. Basically, everything. Because that's what we do online now, is absolutely everything. Now, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, we are a Max Living Health Center. And so it's always awesome when people come in and they think, wow, this is different. And my answer is always, yep. And this is one of the reasons why we see the different results that the average chiropractic office may not see. When we look, we actually we're going to have to get another drug-free warrior bin. Now note, I take no one off medication. What I do is we work with them. We work with them in terms of nervous system. We work with them in terms of nutrition, detoxification. We work with them in terms of exercise and mindset. Setting those ultimate goals. When you look at that as a whole, this is where we start to move the needle. We actually start to see where people have hit the plateau. They start to progress. If they feel like they haven't been progressing, they've been stagnant or regressing, right? The people who every time they go to the doctor, they say, oh my goodness, right? What are you going to find? What medication am I going to be on now? Or those are the people who just avoid the doctor overall and just decide not to go because they don't want to hear what they want to be told, right? I don't really know if they're going to find something. So they just don't go at all to check their numbers, which is also not advisable, right? So we've got to actually look at the numbers and be able to see if you don't know what you're working with, how can you possibly progress positively? You know who I'm talking about out there. You can nudge that person or you can call or text them and remind them. You know, I think it's awesome. People think, you know, in our office, we're so against medicine, and it's not true at all. There's a time and a place for medicine, but we've got to get a baseline first and foremost. I actually have several MDs now that I refer to and they refer to me because I'm like, hey, when was the last time you just got a general blood work panel? Like, let's look at what's going on in terms of health. And the same thing, you know, pain is the most common reason why people go to the medical doctor. And a lot of medical doctors, one, they're monitored, they're regulated in terms of like opioids and painkillers. But then too, they realize that doesn't get rid of the cause of the problem. And so it's so great to have this co-care together as a team so that the individual, you as a person, right? Not as a chart number, you as an actual person, we can help you meet your health goals. It's absolutely amazing, which is what we're talking about today. Today, we're talking about ADD and ADHD. I stumbled upon an article which was incredibly concerning to me, but realize there's so many times that people come into our offices, moms, dads, caregivers who say, hey, my child has ADD, ADHD. I don't want to put them on medication. I want to know if there's another way. And we're going to go through some natural remedies. We're going to go through some dietary things to add and avoid, and overall some of the dangers that can come along with the medications that are given to children with ADD and ADHD. But before we go into that, we'll talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
Today's Health in the News comes from CNN, talks about 10% of U.S. children diagnosed with ADHD. study finds. 10%. So the number of children diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactive disorder. So that's what ADHD stands for. Attention deficit hyperactive disorder. ADD is attention deficit disorder. Hyperactivity, obviously, is what makes it different. So the number of children diagnosed with ADHD has reached more than 10%, a significant increase during the past 20 years, according to a study recently released. The rise was most pronounced in minority groups, suggesting that better access to healthcare and mental health treatment through the Affordable Care Act might have some played roles in the increase. The rate of diagnosis during that time period doubled in girls, although it is still much lower than in boys. But the research says they found no evidence confirming frequent complaints that the condition is overdiagnosed or misdiagnosed. The U.S. has significantly more instances of ADHD than other developing countries, which researchers said has been linked to Americans that are overdiagnosing children. I agree. The lead author of the study said in an interview that a review of studies around the world doesn't support that. He said, I don't think overdiagnosis is the main issue. So some symptoms, they talk about some symptoms of ADHD, and we'll go through this a little bit more, can include inattention, fidgety behavior, and impulsivity in children. Inattention, fidgety behavior, and impulsivity. Okay, we'll get to it. So they talk about how the study that was published in JAMA Pediatrics used data from the National Health Interview Survey, an annual federal survey of about 35,000 households, and it found a steady increase in diagnosis among children from about 6% of children in 1997 and 8 to more than 10% between 2015 and 16. They said it's really because advanced in medical technology also have contributed to the increase. 20 years ago, preterm or low-weight babies had a harder time surviving. Those factors increase the risk of being diagnosed with ADHD. So they just go on through the article to talk more about how, you know, for people, there, it goes through a specific person and diagnosis, and how, you know, she just, I grew up being called lazy in periods of time when I wasn't. If you look at a list of all the various ADHD symptoms, I have all of them to one degree or another, but the only ones ever discussed with me might be less focus or more fidgety. And so she talks about with the medication, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have it. But most of the time, the medications are stimulants, right? This is why moms and dads know kids on ADHD medication, they'll oftentimes lose a bunch of weight because they're stimulants, right? Adults will understand this more when you talk about what a stimulant is. It's like, oh, I'm so hungry. And then you have a coffee for breakfast and then you're not hungry anymore, right? Because it's a stimulant. So it alters your digestion system. This is why kids lose weight. This is why when you look at amphetamines, you know, or people who abuse amphetamines, typically it is rare that you'll see someone who abuses amphetamines overweight, right? Like a drug addict. They won't be overweight because they're not hungry because they're on a bunch of stimulants, right? And so, but we give it to our kids. And so that's one that we have to look at. There is always a risk-benefit ratio, right? There's always, when it comes down to it, there's a risk-benefit ratio. And so our ultimate goal is that we want the benefits to outweigh the risk. But if you don't know the risk of that medication, then how can you make an educated decision? And so that's what we're going to talk a little bit about more next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Fade away. Those are fist up as she gets up, feeling stronger every day.
if there was a better, healthier alternative that came up with the same results, would you be interested in taking it? And that is ultimately what our goal is on educating. If there is a safer, healthier option that still achieves the desired results, can we get there using more natural remedies? And that's what our goal is, to educate patients on and the community on. If we're going to change the way that healthcare is viewed and managed, we have to do things differently, right? And that's what we go through when we look at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. We look at, more specifically, how do we educate people? It's not a surprise when we look and realize at this point that our healthcare system is broken. Right? We always talk to patients about, you know, in our society, you know, if you're sick, you go to the doctor, they give you what? Medication. If that doesn't work, you go back, they give you a different what? Medication. If that doesn't work, you go to the specialist, so you get the bigger and better medication. And then if none of that works, the next step is inevitably they typically want to do surgery. So in our society, how we view health is we'll drug it, and if all else fails, we'll cut it out. So pick out where in that spectrum, right? We call that our what care model. That's what we call our health care model. And so where in that spectrum can you really pick out where health is? You know, and that's the problem, is that, you know, our healthcare system is broken. It is not a big surprise when you look at the United States and say, hey, are we healthy or sick? You know, they talk about in this CNN article that we referenced earlier that 10%. So if you have a classroom of 30 kids, three of them at least will be diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, and on some sort of medication because of that. And you're just like, is there a better way? You know, is there a better way? And in my opinion, there is. There absolutely is. And they say, oh, it's not, we're just not overdiagnosing it. And you're like, how are you not overdiagnosing it? We're the highest, when you're looking at the highest percentage of ADD and ADHD. But here's the problem. All right, here's what I see is the problem, I should say. When you're talking about ADHD and ADD, when you look at the symptoms, it's think about this. Diabetes. How do you diagnose someone with diabetes? Great. Let me test your blood sugar. All right, cool. Yep, your numbers are high, you have diabetes. Then what about if you say, hey, we're concerned about your blood pressure? You put the cuff on, you look, and you say, oh, absolutely, your blood pressure is high. You have high blood pressure. Cool. Let's look at your cholesterol. You have high cholesterol. So there's a very tangible thing, right? And the problem more so with ADD and ADHD is that we're looking and chasing symptoms, right? So what are the symptoms of ADHD, ADD? In children, it can be difficulty in concentrating or diminished focus, easily distracted, easily bored, difficulty organizing or completing tasks, prone to losing things, doesn't listen, difficulty in following instructions, fidgety behavior or squirming, extreme difficulty being still and or quiet, and impatience. Okay. So, I have a child, right? And I've been around a lot of kids for a really long time. Like I've been, and that to me sounds like a child, right? Easily bored, easily distracted, doesn't listen, fidgets, right? Difficulty being still or quiet and impatient. Well, think about this. You put them in school at 5 years old. The one thing that we've cut out of budgets mostly are things that help them move and stimulate their brain, like art and music and recess, right? Get them outside to play. So you put them, you coop them up, and you expect them to sit still without anything for what, 6, 7, 8 hours a day? And then you say, hey, when you try to move, because you have all of this energy to expend, also too, we'll talk about diet, because most of the diets of those kids are not fueling the child, right? When we're looking at that, then it's like, well, we're doing such a disservice to our kids. And because they're not doing that and they're not conforming to the sit still for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, then we say we should medicate them. These kids need to be medicated. And what I've found so much, and this is not in all cases, right? But in a lot of cases, it's not the doctor that initially diagnoses them. It's the teacher, right? You know, Joe Schmo over there is more fidgety than the rest of the class, harder to pay attention. Well, maybe that's just his personality. Maybe he needs to expend more energy. Why is it that we so easily, and then you're like, okay, so how do you test? The test is you ask a question, if the answer is yes or no, right? It's so subjective. There is nothing objective to test, right? Poke the finger, put it on the stick, your blood sugar is high. That's an objective measure, right? Your blood, your fasting blood sugar is 130. You have diabetes, right? It's an objective finding. This is subjective. Same thing with adults, right? Adults, difficulty focusing and concentrating on a task, project, or conversation. Overwhelming emotions and and physical restlessness. Frequent mood swings. Prone to anger and a hot temper, disorganized, low tolerance of people, situations, and surroundings, unstable relationships, increased risk for addiction, right? If you were to ask me, do I have one or more of those things? Difficulty focusing or concentrating on a task, project, or conversation, yes, all the time, right? Overwhelming emotions, yes, constantly. Disorganized. Yes, I left my keys in someone else's car. They drove away. I had to wait 20 minutes for them to bring me my keys back because I don't know why I left them in their car. Right? Prone to anger and a hot temper. Low tolerance for people's situations and surroundings. I keep laughing because that's one where you're like, I don't have any patience for this. I have no patience for this. Right? As an adult, like how many people does that fall into? And sometimes it's just, this is a season of your life that's hard. Maybe this is just like a bad day, you know, and again, maybe it's not a bad day. Maybe it is a season, but it's just that it's a season, but it's never really getting down to the root cause of this, right? We are looking at symptoms, but we're trying to figure out what the root cause of this ADD and ADHD is. You know, there's tons of studies that look at, you know, is it environmental factor, dietary concerns? Is there a genetic link that comes to it? But just like any genetic link, something has to turn on and off that gene expression. You know, we're looking at it. So what do we typically do when we say, hey, absolutely, your child falls into this category. Now we need to do something. So there's typically a couple different types of medication that they'll give children. An amphetamine base, right? And so the most common amphetamine that they'll prescribe is Adderall, right? Most of us have all heard of Adderall. Here's what I was looking at, because there's amphetamines, which is like Adderall. And then you've heard of methamphetamines, which you will probably know as meth, right? So methamphetamine and amphetamines are different, right? So methamphetamines, which is typically referred to as meth, right? That's a drug. Here's the thing. Chemically, methamphetamines and amphetamines have a very similar structure. There's one small structural difference that allows meth to enter your brain more quickly than an amphetamine can. This means for anyone abusing meth, the rush or the high comes on more quickly and more intensely, which is why methamphetamines are more subject, quote unquote, to abuse or being addictive. But the side effects are similar, which include increased heart rate, blood pressure, loss of appetite, excessive sweating. But this is also why, when you're looking at why Adderall is so regulated, they're starting to move away from the amphetamine based, right? They say, well, this isn't, you know, this is a stimulant. But Adderall overall, the long-term use is crazy. I actually know one of the doctors I worked with in North Carolina when I was out there training, her husband was on Adderall as a child and now as an adult in his 40s has an extreme amount of cardiovascular damage. He has tons and tons of heart problems. because they talked about the longer that people are on it, the more studies have found that the drug raises blood pressure, heart rate, and they found that they're producing a long-term cardiovascular harm. Right? Well, it's long-term. How long are you on there for? Right? You know, oh, I'm on them for, you know, a couple years now. And you're just like, all right, imagine if you are on methamphetamine for a couple years now. Do you think that maybe over the course of time it would cause health problems? Yeah. Right. But this isn't meth. This is amphetamines. It's a little bit of a different chemical structure. But hey, guess what? It has almost the same thing. So you're like, are you okay putting your 7-year-old on that, who developmentally in terms of brain, heart, lungs is not fully developed? You know, so they're saying, hey, all right, maybe we should steer away from that. And maybe what we should do is we should give a different type. Let's do a different type. And so what they're looking at more is Ritalin. And again, Ritalin and cocaine look very much similar. They have a similar structure. They both increase dopamine levels in the brain. And they do this by blocking a dopamine transport protein, which normally takes up dopamine in the synapses, right? So it affects dopamine in the brain. Ritalin and cocaine both block the dopamine receptors. Cocaine may help individuals with ADHD focus and feel calm and in control, right? Why are you giving it to the kids? So again, when you're looking at the long-term effects of Ritalin and how it affects the brain, we have to look at, yes, it helps with its inhibitory control. So it allows for them to feel more in control. But this is one of the reasons why, you know, one of the side effects is, hey, they can't sleep. They're losing weight. They're sweaty. They're, you know, and it's such a big difference in why kids can feel that difference. So the other one that they look at as well is Concerta. Again, a stimulant mainly used to treat ADD and ADHD. And so Concerta has a direct impact on the central nervous system. This is why kids in chiropractic care thrive so much, is because chiropractors, we work on and affect the central nervous system, the brainstem and spinal cord, right? So stimulants like Concerta allow for norepinephrine and dopamine, so they're different hormones, levels to rise steadily by preventing the neurons from being reabsorbed. This is where it has such an effect on the brain. Again, some of the side effects: blurred vision, changed eyesight, dry mouth, difficulty sleeping, dizziness, anxiety, irritability. It's a stimulant. And again, just like any of the other stimulants, Adderall, Ritalin, stimulants cause circulation problems. And so they're finding numbness and tingling. Again, decrease in appetite. With Concerta, they found that it can cause reproductive problems in men, boys, you know, if there are kids that are taking it. And so you're looking at, okay, the longer term side effects they're finding is brain and heart, because you're taking this little developing system and you're giving it drugs that are really common to street drugs, which is why they're, you know, when you're looking at how these drugs are regulated in kids, it's because of the fact that there are a lot of money on the streets, because hey, it's a legally prescribed drug, so it's easier to come about than illegal drugs oftentimes, but it gives them the same euphoric feeling. And so this is why it's so hard for kids to get off of too, and they like their medication. It's because of what it does, you know? And so to me, that's terrifying. And so you have to think, what if there's research that shows if you're feeding your kid this specific thing, it actually increases the rate of ADD and HD. What if we can start taking those chemicals out of the diet? What if we can start implementing in better supplements, better nutrients through food, and you can see that similar change? Is it worth it? Right? And so there's a food additive that has been proven over and over to increase ADHD symptoms. We'll tell you what it is next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Or schedule your appointment online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Now, Let's talk about this. What is one thing that you can cut out? I like giving action steps because sometimes we are just full of information and we feel overwhelmed and we have the inability to take action, right? Paralysis by analysis, right? Is that what the thing is? Where you have so much, you just don't know what to do with all of it? I can't. It's not really funny. It's actually kind of sad, but so many times when we do our big health makeovers, we'll have people who are like, I just wanted to let you know that I was on fire. I went to the grocery store and then I left and I'm like, great, how'd it go? And they're like, no, I left with nothing. I just walked around. I felt so overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do. So I just left. Right. So that's ultimately not the goal. So an action step, one action step that you or your children are suffering from symptoms of ADD, ADHD, an easy thing that you can start cutting out are food dyes. Yep. That beautiful, vibrant, colored food. Cut it out. Here's why. They are finding, and this is not new research. When I talk about chemical dyes, what I'm referencing is the different types of chemical dyes. So there's lots of different types. Yellow 6 or 7, red 40, blue number 1. If you look at the additional ingredients on the package, you'll be able to see it. Because sometimes you wouldn't think that food dye would be in something because it's not beautiful and vibrantly colored. It just, sometimes they just add a couple drops of dye so it's not like a brownish or it's a less visually appealing hue. So they add dyes to it to make it more visual. And so what they're finding is over the past 40 years, there's been a link between food ingredients and adverse behaviors such as hyperactivities. And concerns were raised about this. This is actually comes from the Center for Science and the Public Interest. Over the past 40 years, many double-blind studies have concluded that food dyes and other ingredients can impair some of the children's behavior. In 2011, even the FDA acknowledged the growing body of evidence concluding that exposure to food and food components, including artificial colors, food colors, and preservatives, may be associated with adverse behaviors. Not necessarily related to hyperactivity in certain susceptible children with ADD and ADHD, and possibly insusceptible children for the general population. So they have in this, and there has been other studies since that have been published, but for example, 2011, this is dietary sensitivities and ADHD symptoms, 35 years of research. A review by Purdue University and Ohio State University Medical School concluded that a subpopulation of children with ADHD improved significantly on a dye-free diet and experienced ADHD symptoms when challenged with food dyes, and that those children are often sensitive to other foods. We'll talk about that too. So literally, it's kind of like pregnant women who've gone through the glucose challenge, right? They cut it all out. They see how you do. And then they say, here's a ton of food dye. And they said, oh my gosh, your behavior got terrible. And they took it away and it got better. Weird. What if we could just cut it out normally? Another one, 2012, is a meta-analysis by researchers from Oregon Health and Science Universities and Life Science Research Organization. Found that a restriction diet, which eliminated dyes and other foods and additives, reduced ADHD symptoms in approximately 33% of children with ADHD. They said it estimated that 8% of children with ADHD may have some symptoms related to food dyes. Another one came from Ohio State University. Research suggested a significant effect of artificial food coloring on children's behavior that is not confined to those diagnosable with ADHD, right? So even kids who get crazy, who haven't been quote unquote diagnosed with ADHD, still saw a significant effect on its on their behavior following the consumption of artificial food coloring. Right, like it goes on and on. There are more and more and more that you see in terms of studies. And these are large studies, meta-analysis, the Purdue University. You're looking at huge, huge studies. So we've got to look. An easy way to cut out food dye. One, how do you do it? You got to start reading labels. Two, you know, most of the time it's not a little bit of food dye. It's a lot of food dye from a lot of little different places. And so it's not in adult foods. It's in kids' foods often, right? Kids love the vibrant color. I literally talked with a patient more recently who brought her son in. And he hadn't been in a couple weeks. And I know that myself and the mom had talked about how the teachers could actually note a difference in his behavior with getting adjusted. And she said, you know, it's just been really bad recently. I said, hey, have you ever thought about cutting out food dye? And she said, you know, it's just so hard because a lot of the treats that we give him to reward him have food dye in them. Now, you can look. There are other ways. There are lateral shifts, right? Lateral shifts. What are some easy things? So you look at the food dye. Instead of them dying with art, because they're typically petroleum based. Ugh, so bad, so bad, so bad. We still have, people probably think I'm like the meanest, strictest mom ever. Like we still have fun, but you look at, you can get suckers that are still colored, but they're colored with food extract. So beet juice turns something red. Purple carrot turn something a bluish purple. It's typically the carrot, the blue or purple color. Turmeric makes something orange. So there's other ways to color food that aren't chemicals. So it's a lateral shift. So you just have to find them. Same thing with fruit snacks. There's a lot of those kids' foods that now are coming out that are looking at, hey, we're not going to use, oh my goodness, even there's this huge controversy, and this was years ago, maybe two or three, so I guess it wasn't that long, but how macaroni and cheese, Kraft macaroni and cheese, in the United States, it is the only country that they add artificial food coloring. Everywhere else, they use more natural food-based coloring, but in the United States, they use the macaroni and cheese of all things, right? So we're like, oh, what? I thought it was just in sweets and candy. No, it's in macaroni and cheese. So this is the stuff you've got to start looking at and figuring out, hey, instead of Kraft, maybe you look at Annie's. Annie doesn't have all the extra. So it's making that shift over where it's like research article upon meta-analysis, which is typically looking at 10 to 12 plus studies. You know, the one I talked about had 15 studies that they looked at. Double-blind, placebo-controlled trials. They know that these food dyes cause problems, right? So if you really are struggling that with your kids, maybe it's time to look at what they're eating. One other thing that we can really look at too is gluten. I know that this is like a really big fad right now. People love like gluten-free. But your brain and your gut have quite the connection. And not everyone, so celiac disease is what is an actual allergy, a gluten allergy. Now, not everyone has a gluten allergy, but it is very common for anyone, children and adults alike, that have gluten sensitivities, right? And so when you're looking at that sensitivity, they've gone through studies that actually link celiac disease and ADHD. Your gut affects your brain. So we don't necessarily think about what we eat as something that affects the brain receptors, but this is where you look at things like the GAPS diets. There's tons of books, Wheat Belly and Grain Brain, right? So great reading article or reading books that if you have this, that you can look at more. But a reduction in gluten is something else to really pay attention to on how that affects the activity levels, the sensitivities, the behavior of these children. Now, when we come back, what else can you add in? Is there anything else in terms of nutrition, dietary, maybe chiropractic? We'll talk about what those things are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. Check out Dr. Leanne on Facebook, facebook.com/greenwoodfamilychiropractic.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Or check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about ADD, ADHD. More specifically with kids, but this goes for adults as well. You know, I see how common it is, and how hard it is to manage. You know, I think that's the one that I see the most is how hard it is for parents, you know, because, you know, as a parent, our goal is always to do what's best for our kids, right? You know, I haven't yet met someone who said, you know what, I just really don't want anything great for my kid. I hope they turn out terrible. Like, you know, it's just not, that's not normal. So we've got to figure out if we're really looking out to be what's best, you know, you have to weigh the options. Is that medication really the best for your child? Knowing the side effects, the long-term side effects that come with cardiovascular health, brain, mental, you know, the stimulation factor, or are there things that you can do naturally? You know, and one thing that people don't know, because they talk about chiropractic, is headaches, neck pain, or back pain. We don't adjust for hyperactivity. We don't adjust for high blood pressure. But when you see these behavioral changes, when you start to see the numbers start to change, you realize when you're addressing the central nervous system, how important that is, right? Because that's where a lot of those medications that they give to for ADD and ADHD deal specifically with central nervous system. Has anyone checked your or your kid's central nervous system? If that's what the drugs deal with, why don't we have someone who actually addresses if there's an underlying root cause? You know, is there something going on with the central nervous system that's not allowing for the functioning and healing? We went through a great, and I can't find the research study, but it was a couple years ago. We had actually, I think his name was Dr. John Malardi. And we went through and talked more specifically about how upper cervical adjustments actually stimulate different cortical centers in the brain, right? So we always think about from the brain down the spinal cord, out the nerves, but they actually showed upper cervical. So the very top of the neck, when that is properly adjusted, it stimulates different brain centers that actually produce dopamine. Think about, guess what we're talking about? Most of these medications, guess what they're trying to have an effect on is dopamine, you know? And so you're looking at even a journal comes from JMPT, a journal that came out, and it talks about a study that they looked at. Data was analyzed from children, and they looked at adjustments versus sham adjustments. And they looked at, they had a wristwatch on the kids, so they were able to monitor movement, right? They had electrodermal tests to measure autonomic nervous system activity in these kids following chiropractic care. And they had it with children as well who received a sham adjustment. And they looked at 5 out of the 7 children showed improvement in behavioral scores from the placebo. 4 out of 7 showed improvement in arousal, and the improvement in the group as a whole was significant. Agreement between tests were also high in the study. For all 7 children, 3 out of the 4 principal tests used to detect improvement were in agreement that we were either positively affected in terms of parents' rating of activity, motion recorder scores, electrodermal measurement, and x-rays of spinal distortion. They said they saw improvement. I'll tell you, you know, as chiropractors, it's hard because we don't have the funding of drug companies to have these huge studies. You know, we're little guys. We're self-funded. But I'll tell you more than anything that what I see is testimonies from patients. You know, you can't refute your own personal testimony. And so when you see it and, you know, there's a notable difference, and when teachers start noticing it in school and parents start noticing it, you know, that's where we see this big improvement. And so it's one that addressing just the nervous system overall, right? You're not going to come in. We're just going to look at and say, here's the nervous system. Here's problems with the nervous system. Let's remove that interference, that subluxation, and allow for the body to function the way that it's supposed to. Right? Let's get back down looking at more the root cause. Because one of the other things that we look at is nutrition. Our kids are hungry for nutrition. We're full of food. We're starved of nutrition. Right? You look at how blank the nutrient process is and how sad that is. But you look at, what are some easy things? B vitamins. Should you give your kids B vitamins? No. Let's just say you give your kids B vitamins through food, right? B6 is needed for the body to make and use essential brain chemicals, including serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine. Guess what those drugs affect? Those same 3 brain chemicals, right? When you're looking at B6, B6 is typically in a lot of organic wild animal products, lots of green leafy vegetables. So when you're talking about salmon, grass-fed beef, there are tons of ways that you can naturally get this in. Same thing when you're looking at poultry, right? So chicken. Tryptophan is an essential amino acid that helps the body to synthesize protein and aid in the production of serotonin. Serotonin plays a significant role in sleep, inflammation, emotional moods, so much more. What about wild caught salmon, right? Oh, my kids won't eat salmon. Mix it in with something, right? This is one where as a parent, you realize you're surprised. I have almost a year and a half. Love salmon. I was so afraid he would hate salmon. And I really just, I don't put anything on it. He loves salmon. And it's great because not only is it high in B6, it's also packed with omega-3 fatty acids. And again, Maryland Medical Center did a clinical trial and indicated that a lower level of omega-3 fatty acids had more learning and behavioral disorder, like those associated with ADHD, than people who had normal levels, right? That is an easy one that you can add back in. Those are ones you can even look at for kids. There's like a dropper that's children's DHA. Look at those omega-3 fatty acids. Get that through diet, though, if we can. Why? If we can get it through diet, why wouldn't we try to do that? You know, And so again, it's just really coming back down to the purpose of, hey, if we can start making those nutritional changes, giving the body what it needs, taking away what it doesn't, what is toxic to it, why can we not thrive as a human, as a person, as an individual, as a community? Right? And that's just not with kids with ADD, ADHD. That's not just with adults with ADHD. That's as a society in whole in terms of health and disease prevention. Right? That's inevitably what we have to start looking at more is let's get to the root cause, correct the cause. So inevitably, this isn't something you have to continue to keep working about for the rest of your life. Get to the cause. And that's what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853, or go online and schedule your appointment. Greenwood Family Chiropractic, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, schedule an appointment, initial exam and consultation is just $25. So thanks so much for tuning in. Hopefully you have some action steps to start making changes for the health of you and your family. I look forward to next week. Always remember that your power is on.